in the past, we kind of had to adapt to technology. And now it's kind of done the flip turn where technology is actually adapting to us.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast today. We have a really interesting guest today as we're going to talk about travel and hospitality. Shane O'Flaherty is going to join us from Microsoft. He has a long career in travel, hospitality, and actually brings back some great memories as we've had some conversations about traveling around the United States, pretty much pre-mobile phone technology, et cetera. I'll bring my co-host Andrew Jernigan in on this journey today. Andrew, you remember those trips around the United States, perhaps with your parents, or the first trips that you did using perhaps the mobile travel guide and AAA, TripTix, et cetera?
Oh, yes, of course. And traveling, whether it's Europe or other places, grabbing your notebook and jotting down, okay, I need to turn here. I need to watch for this building and there'll be a dog barking right there, usually at the corner, turn. Or you'd print out MapQuest, for those who may remember MapQuest. You know, global business travel has really shifted the aspects of duty of care and traveler check-in and is the hotel certified? And there's so many intricacies, but for those who are listening, those things may not be a concern. And we may just be thinking about, okay, is it Waze or Google Maps, Apple Maps, et cetera? How is it affecting us? Are we getting it through our watch that's all of a sudden giving us the travel tips? Are we getting alerts in different formats? What's our favorite app for it? It runs the gamut, doesn't it, Alan?
No joke. I used to travel with a roll of quarters because you'd have to find a payphone at a gas station and say, I can't find where I'm supposed to go to find your office. You used to learn how to use a map and decide which way is north, south, east, or west relative to the map. Often you did amble into some unique places that you didn't expect. And it just brings to mind, I did a ride a couple of years back that I left Germany and we drove into Prague. And I had done the same ride 10 years earlier with my brother-in-law, and this was before the technology. He was on the map. It took us hours to find the hotel. It was scary. It was different. You got to watch for the trolley lines cutting across the roads. And then a couple of years later, when you have right now in your car navigation, it was so easy. And I think that was really the underscoring of the progress to me. So let's bring Shane into the conversation because you've seen probably more than anybody else the move through this whole technology area. Would love your perspective on how the technology is being used now and going. But before then, why don't you share with our audience your background in this area? Because I think it's extremely interesting how we're moving forward in travel and hospitality.
Sure. And thanks, Alan. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the opportunity to join you. I mean, technology is just transforming the way we travel. And I remember going on sales calls in the early 90s, printing out like the 6 appointments I had, the MapQuest for each appointment and trying to figure out a plan and how to get there. I remember traveling overseas. I lived in Japan for a couple of years, traveled around China. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, I don't have a cell phone. If something happens to me, no one will know. And I just had a backpack on. Those were the good old days. And it still are the good old days around travel. It's constantly evolving. And I think you mentioned the mobile travel guide that was built in 1957 to help people guide them around the country on where to dine and where to stay. And then you fast forward and then the creation of TripAdvisor. So it turned from like a professional inspector kind of opinion, then it turned into consumer opinion. And now today, now you have social influencers who are like a next level of consumer opinions. But ultimately what we want as individuals, and like when you read a book or you read the mobile travel guide, or now you read the Forbes travel guide, which it transformed into, you know, you're trying to find the best place for you to stay that fits who you are, your profile. So it's more around this kind of hyper-personalization. And then how does technology play into that? And they talk about customer 360 and journey, probably for many, many years. But when you think of your travel, even today, hotels do a good job of maybe marketing you before you show up. But once you arrive at the property, from a digital perspective, it's kind of a self-service model. Are they providing you content to make your journey a better journey? Maybe a piece of paper that shows what's happening at the hotel. How do we help this industry as a whole transform with technology, with the latest and greatest around cloud technology? I think, Alan, you mentioned AI, machine learning, mixed reality, decentralized ID. It's all coming and it's already here to stay. And I think at this point in our lives, in the past, we kind of had to adapt to technology. And now it's kind of done the flip turn where technology is actually adapting to us. Anything around cognitive services, around speech or translation, is all reached human parity. So anything that we do, you know, technology can blend into that arena in a very way that will enhance not only my journey, but then the employee journey, and then also kind of the operation. So we're moving to a real-time world where the businesses are going to be more proactive with you to drive a better journey, whether that's turn right here, stay at this hotel, see this dining establishment, as opposed to more of the world we lived in before, which is a little bit more reactive. So it's fascinating.
And that proactive versus reactive approach, I mean, so important. And on the proactive side is the tools given to people now that help keep them more safe or find their type of food that they would like, or let them know they're in their proximity to some great things to visit. I mean, you're right, the bespoke nature, to go back to like the mobile travel guide, it would just show you the first version, the one I remember from the 60s, would show you the restaurants in the town. Now I go somewhere, I want Thai food that I can walk to, that's open these hours. You go down the list and it's safe. And even on the hospitality side of things, I'm sure, you know, you want people to stay at the safe hotels that have a good track record, right, et cetera. I think that's been a huge improvement. I think the technology's helped with that. Maybe some of your comments about the bespoke nature of what people build for themselves with the tools that you and others provide.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think of the past and from a human service, human to human contact, it was all around at the high end of the market, anticipatory service to that consumer. So thinking ahead of what they may want. And now, you know, if you're coming out of COVID as well, you mentioned security as an important part, and also health security. So no longer will I potentially, depends on, you know, how I feel, but I will have a more curated experience going into it. I will probably do a lot of pre-planning and I won't maybe roam the streets as much as I did before. I want to ensure that, hey, this establishment I walk into, I'm comfortable from a health security perspective. So how does technology play to that? How does AI, or what we call artificial intelligence, how does that AI assistant drive you down the journey to places that are an area that's something you would love based on who you are and who you're profile on? But security, health security, as always, are paramount and become more paramount moving forward in the traveler's journey.
We've worked with some groups that have come to Andrew and me. They're African-American business travelers and personal travelers. You know, we saw the movie Green Book. You know, we understand Green Book. Do you guys have any suggestions for us on good tools that we could have that would provide direction to us around the world for Black-friendly businesses? And this to me was a perfect example of movement forward of digital technology, not just from the United States, but worldwide, that they were trying to put together hospitals, restaurants, hotels, other folks that they could feel comfortable sending folks to. So I'm sure that, you know, you working, you've seen corporations wanting to slice and dice their populations differently, populations raising their hands saying, I want that. Help us understand, maybe even using that as a scenario of how people can really bespoke look at travel and hospitality and feel comfortable using this technology.
Yeah, again, it starts at the data layer and the data foundation on the bottom. So it's understanding who I am, my interests in life, where I want to go, where do I want to dine, what do I want to see, where do I feel comfortable from whatever parameters there are. So as more hotels understand their customer and pull the data from all the different data silos that they have and create a more holistic, you know, view of that person, and then map that with their hotels and map that with restaurants, map that with other destinations, whatever it may be, what other establishment is, and then map that. So when I'm deciding on where I want to travel, using AI, it's presenting me with options that are relevant to who I am, as opposed to the masses. So how do I create this kind of hyper-personalization around who I am? And long-term, and if you think of where we are today, I mean, the consumer doesn't really own their own data today. It's owned by other tech giants to a certain extent. But long-term, I mean, our vision is what we call a decentralized ID, which essentially means that I own my data. And GDPR in Europe has done a really good job of this, is I own my data and I control it all. And then I create my own identity hub on who I am. And then I begin the process saying, I'm only going to permission this company into my world, this company into my world, and this company into my world. We're going to do a value exchange with each other where I'll give them a little more information on who I am. And then they'll provide more value to me during my stay or whatever, during my dining experiences. So we think long term, over the next couple of years, the consumer is going to take back their world, take back their data. And then with that, then they can permission companies that they love, that they treasure, that they have an emotional connection with into their world. And then it begins a very, very, I would call it a kind of this next generation hyper-personalization around the offering of where I'm going to go. And then secondarily, once I get there, how I'm treated, that will be very different long-term. And that's our vision for it.
It's one of those things where technology is advancing at such high rates and people are being inundated with more and more apps, more and more required software systems by their companies, that there's almost fatigue of the usage and the application of where should we go for, and you've got to go to four different places. You've got to go to your travel management portal to make sure you've checked everything. What is on the horizon for innovation, for adding all this up into one spot? Is there anything? Is anyone actually looking at how to build that all together and simplify the lifestyle of the global traveler, whether business, travel, leisure, or the retiree and remote worker?
It's a great question, Andrew, and we're constantly thinking of it. As the world is evolving, it's moving to more of what I call an open data sharing model. Because as a consumer, all I want is this frictionless journey. Now, get off my airplane, jump in my car, see my hotel. I want the hotel to know that I'm arriving at a certain time. Kind of theoretically, I'd want them to exchange information across that data stream. And that helps the consumer have a better journey. But then it also helps the hotel, as an example, knowing that I'm leaving at 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay, let's turn that room at 7 a.m. So the world is moving towards, theoretically, kind of this common data model. We'd like it to go. Understand privacy, security concerns of the data. But I can exchange data in a useful way that provides a frictionless journey for the consumer and drives more operational efficiency. If you think of airlines and airports, do they share a lot of data? No, not really. Should they? Absolutely. Because I know if they share more data, then my journey at the airport is going to be a better journey. So I think long term, we're thinking around frictionless travel journey for the consumer that's more contactless, but then that means you have to share data across that stream. And as a consumer, I can share my data, but I want them to connect all those dots above across that ecosystem and spectrum. So yes, that's something we're constantly thinking of. The technology is there to make that happen today from a cloud perspective, but then how do we collectively as an industry move forward in that direction? You know, keeping this customer at the center of the journey there that says, hey, this is what the customer wants. How do we open our minds a little bit and move down this path in a way that protects the privacy, data, security of those individuals as well.
Yeah, because it does require such interaction with the customer.
Correct.
To say, yes, these are the 45 programs I access. And yes, you can actually make them connect.
Yes.
You know, the APIs can talk. I give my permissions so that you can see where I'm staying. You can access Hilton. You can access Enterprise. You can access National, Rent-A-Car, et cetera, Europcar, wherever. But it takes so much commitment from the user to right. actually allow this technology to exist.
Let's say I put something on my calendar, conference in New York. I just put on my calendar. Long term, what you essentially want is your AI agent. We talk about this artificial intelligence enabled or AI agent enabled that would say, hey, looks like you're going to New York. Can I book your airfare? Based on your profile, here's what I would suggest. Hotel, here's what I suggest. Here's your Uber, Lyft or car service. So we want ultimately the technology can help be more proactive in that journey as opposed to me, like you said, going to a separate portal to open up and then book X, book Y, and book Z. But you know, I think you'll see over the coming years that AI can help enhance and be part of that anticipatory service for you as a traveler, whether for business or leisure, that can drive that kind of a mission for you and take some of the rudimentary stuff that you do, which is like maybe booking travel. It's like this AI-enabled travel agency, for lack of a better word, or travel agent.
It's interesting as we discuss this, trying to find the right hotel, the right place to eat, et cetera. The thing I hear from a lot of our nomadic listeners is they want to find people of like interests that tie in. Well, I don't want too much big brother.
Right.
You know, them to know where they am all the time. I may turn off the geo positioning, but on the other hand, I have to explain to them, unless you have the geo positioning on and the AI technology, we're not going to be able to put together the person near you that you could meet with a similar interest. So maybe a little conversation for our audience to understand the push-pull.
It's a great conversation. I think the industry that does it phenomenally well, I mean, we're going to step outside of travel, but I think the gaming industry does it quite well, which in gaming, I'm talking about Xbox and PlayStation. So they create micro communities inside the game, and you have a group of people that are connected, and then they create live events. So in game, they will say, hey, we're going to bring, I don't know, Marshmallow, which is a DJ. We're going to bring him into the event. And all of a sudden, it's a tremendous growth in traffic. So when you think of a hotel as an example, let's say I'm a whiskey taster and I love whiskey. I'm in a 220 room hotel. So there's 200-300 people in that hotel. And they send a push message out and say, hey, just FYI, the general manager is going to do a whiskey tasting in the next half an hour downstairs. Love for you to join. And it only goes out to the people who enjoy whiskey. So then all of a sudden, these groups come together of 5, 10, 8 people with like-minded areas. And you can pick your poison as far as the lifestyle event that you enjoy. But really, I mean, when you think of travel, it's really about community-centric approach. It's about lifestyle. It's about happiness. It's about everything that you enjoy in life. But how do I bring a digital footprint to that and create these little micro communities? For me, when I travel, I love meeting like-minded people as myself and new people, and then more versed in the culture of the destination I'm at from a localization perspective. So it could be inside the hotel, or it could be, hey, we're going to take a trip around the city to do a quick tour. Who's in? And so you're creating these kind of like these small little communities in real time, like a flash mob, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
That's a bad, maybe it's a negative connotation. But I do think, Alan, this concept of micro communities around travel, around interest, they've done a great job in the gaming space around that. So then how do you move this into kind of the travel, and instead of having community managers that focus on what you said on TripAdvisor, what you said on Twitter, which is more reactive?
Yeah.
How about having proactive community managers that set up these type of micro communities, you know, in different cities, as an example?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that, because as an example, I have a app called Untappd. I'm a guy who likes microbrewed beer, and you can see which breweries are the better ones in the area. But then you can even see who's there.
Right.
And then you go there and you're like, hey, is there Joe here? You just posted a perfect score on this beer. And it's amazing, obviously, when people at microbreweries, everybody seems to want to talk to everybody. It's a very good crowd to meet people, or even the Bonvoy app that I use for our friends, you know, at Marriott. Some of the things that they push out as events, which you could either use points for, or, you know, if you're at a particular hotel. And that makes it so much more pleasurable, because obviously when we used to travel by ourselves, there was nothing sadder than having a dinner or a drink at that table by yourself. When you see five other people having dinners and drinks by themselves, and one of those people might have the same interest. I really appreciate what you said about just trying to pull that together. It still seems to be reactive in nature, which is okay, right. But at least okay. We still have that tool, right?
Yeah. And hopefully soon we can stand around a bar. But I mean, if you think of the design of hotels over the last 5 years, they've created very social environments in the lobby experience, which is fantastic. And then all of a sudden COVID happened and then that went away. So how do you bring back those social experiences that bring health security as a mindful subset of that as well moving forward? But that's essentially part of travel is meeting new people.
When you're living or spending extensive time overseas, finding that community is one of the biggest challenges. It may come through the American society of that city or internations or, you know, various formats, but technology has got to catch up with us so that it's not just going to a social media group or something to find the remote workers of that city or the expats in that city.
Right.
Sure, we may use some apps, but technology has a lot to catch up with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To me, it's comforting. I mean, one of the things that makes me really happy is when my children travel or I travel on our programs, we have that panic button, you know, that's geo-position. And, you know, I feel like, not that I'm going to put myself in more dangerous or unique situations, because Shane, Andrew, and I, we've all traveled to places pre-phone that, you know, other folks might have said, I'm not so sure about, you know, your trip there. I do think it gives people a little more confidence to venture out. And that makes me really happy with technology that way. The problem is we have a lot of folks that are very worried about geo-positioning technology as a big brother tool. And to me, I still look at it as a safety tool. Maybe others disagree.
As you travel, I mean, it was so mindful of safety, security, and how can technology blend into that? I mean, if you think of in the hotel employees have safety buttons to a certain extent, or that's becoming some in certain states becoming law. How does safety, security play into that when you travel? And the more comfortable I feel when I travel, the kind of the broader I will go in that city. So yeah, I think it's a great opportunity having a tool like that as well.
So we ask all of our guests a really interesting question. I have a feeling you may have more than one answer, although it's posited as one. For the folks listening, please share with us like an overlooked person, place, experience that you would suggest our listeners discover. And if you have a couple that are hot off the presses, so to speak, more than one would be fine too.
Perfect. I mean, I'm a big fan of U.S. travel, number one, first and foremost. I'm a big fan of iconic old school hotels like the Broadmoor, the Breakers, the Greenbrier, you know, historic type of hotels. Every city has one. Hotel DuPont there you have, Alan. You know, and I love exploring the U.S. and the nature associated with the U.S., whether it's down in southern Utah, whether you're going up into Montana. And then you sneak over into Hawaii. Lanai is one of my favorite islands. Absolutely gorgeous little boat trip off Maui that people forget about. I lived in Japan for a couple of years. I'm a big fan of Asia. If you've never been there, it's an amazing, amazing place. I love Europe because I was born in Ireland. So that, you know, so the whole world I love. I mean, and for me, living in Japan was such a unique place. Japan, China, whether it's Shanghai, whether it's Beijing, whether it's Hong Kong, whether it's Macau, Singapore. I mean, so many tremendous destinations around the world. And I think when you travel, you get a higher sense of awareness around culture, and you kind of look at the world in a different lens than if you don't travel. I mean, I think it's critical to travel. And I take my kids on a trip every other year to a historical destination. I got five kids. So we did China one year. We did Italy one year. We did Ireland one year in England. So I'm very, very mindful about how travel influences our lives and really brings about new experiences that we may never have in our life. So I could go on and on all day. And I have my favorite hotels and I have my favorite destinations, but it's an endless journey. You know, it's like a race without a finish line, the travel world. I love it.
So where can people learn more about you? Do you use social media and they should follow you there? Or, you know, I'm sure some people have been intrigued with this. What's the best way to locate you?
On LinkedIn, just Shane O'Flaherty, work for Microsoft, formerly at Forbes Travel Guide, Mobile Travel Guide. At some point, I will create my own website. That's coming soon. We're all about inspiring travel. And then where does high touch and high tech kind of come together moving forward? It's a fascinating part of the journey and the evolution that the travel space is going in. And if you think of what's happened over the last year with COVID, I mean, the acceleration, we've seen more digital transformation in the past year than probably we would have seen in the next 10 years. And that's become extremely compressed. So over the next few years, you'll see some of the fruits of the labor of what these large hotel, airline, travel companies have done. We'll see the fruits of labor in the coming years, and it will be a very different experience when we travel, which is fantastic and all to the benefit of the traveler.
Everyone, you're hearing from the Global Director of Travel, Transportation, and Hospitality at Microsoft. So Shane, you've provided some outstanding insights, spurred some thoughts. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks. My pleasure. And keep traveling.
Just to tie together, Andrew, what we've learned today, I have to tip my hat to Shane on this. I've been to the Broadmoor, the Greenbrier, and of course, the Hotel DuPont as I live in Delaware. All are amazing places. Actually, the Greenbrier, if you do go there, go visit where the U.S. government was going to be taken if Washington was ever under attack during a nuclear war. All wonderful places. So I feel the same excitement about the future of travel, knowing that tools are coming that are going to make it a lot easier. Andrew, final thoughts from you on what you learned today.
I am more motivated than ever to build in integration in the solutions that we deliver to our client. The AI is there so that when they land, they're getting the welcome to San Diego or wherever they're landing. So the traveler check-in, all those things are built in, but there's so much more needed. So as I hear this, I think collaborations are essential. So that the GDS, all the other factors are integrated. And progress only happens through increased collaboration. That's my biggest takeaway from today.
Fantastic. Great way to close. So thank you for joining us today, listeners. Remember, the New Nomad's not just a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas, spirit, helping you take advantage of the location-independent lifestyle. Please check back again with us next week. And please look into us at thenewnomad.net or insurednomads.com. We love your reviews. Keep on traveling. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.